That's good. Okay, so I apologize for the delay. All right. I thought it was working and I couldn't get it to go on. Okay, so we were talking about how a person is born with their midos and you should not try to break the midah, you should direct the midah like the horse. That, right? He said that the guf of the person, the neshama of the person, is the neshama of the nefesh, which is the guf, is the midos, and the meisen, the way you behave, that's the sheichel, that's the ruach. And the ruach directs the neshama. Then the nefesh, I'm sorry. So he says that this is pshat in the pasuk of chanoch lanar al pi darko. There's a pasuk in Mishlei that's supposed to be chanoch lanar al pi darko. You have to be mechanech the child according to his derech. So he's explaining it means according to his midos. You have to convince the child to go with his midos. Gam ki asking leyosar mimenu. So the because this way when he gets older he won't go veer off from it. What does he mean with that? So says the Vilna Gaon. You think the Vilna Gaon is talking like a modern day psychologist? Unbelievable. He says over here the Gaon in Mishlei. He says that if you want the chinuch to stick with the child, you have to. If you want the chinuch to stick with the child, you need to teach it him in a way that fits with his midos. But if you, and then he'll want to do it, then he'll learn how to do it. Then he'll have been taught how to express himself. But if you're constantly forcing him to subdue himself and forcing him to do things he doesn't understand how to do them and it's not within his koach, so he'll do them because he's going to listen, but they're not going to stick with him. La hefrach, he's going to rebel later because you didn't work within his midos. You forced something down his throat. So it says, that's what it means. Chanoch lanar al pidarko. Fit it within his midos. Gam kiyaskin, and this way, when he gets older, lo yasser mimena, he won't leave him. Because if you force it down, then he will automatically go back because you cannot break his mazel. You cannot break his nature. You can work within his nature, but you can't break the nature. That's what he says. He says, by the way, the Goyim says, you know, every Gemara, even though, you know, the Gemara is meant to be understood literally, but it also just means that you have to understand the significance of each thing. So he says, what the Gemara says, when the Gemara says that if a person was born in the mazel of blood, he will end up either end up being a shoychet, a moyel, or a murderer. What that means is that if he has that teva, so you have a choice. You can either make him use it for mitzvahs, like Mila. You can make him use it for things which are, okay, it's not a mitzvah, but it's not an avera, it's good, it's shechita, you have to do it, it's servicing the people, it's okay. Or it's not gonna end up good. We gotta work within the midos. That's what he says. Now, then he says a very powerful thing over here, very big chiddush. But the truth is, Rabbi Chanan Wasserman says this chiddush, others say this chiddush as well. He says, you know, now that I've determined for you that the place that midos comes from is the nefesh, is the guf. The place, the maisim, the actions come from is the ruach. Okay. But he says, mitzad guf and nefesh, as far as our guf and nefesh is concerned, just the guf and the nefesh itself, Adam hu garua mikol hachai. The Adam is the worst live creature. The nature of our nefesh is more, you know, unrefined, more, I don't know exactly how to say it, but lower level than all of the other animals in the Bria. We have the most violent, vicious, you know, a nefesh, which is the arguf and midos, than any other animal. We're more complex and so what makes us greater? Mitzad haruach, the neshama, gadol mekulam. What makes us greater is the ruach and the neshama we have. But it's not the pshat that, you know, okay, it's not the pshat that we have a, you know, we're pretty good.
without a neshama and without a ruach directing the horse, we're worse than any other animal. And that's why people that don't have Yerushalayim and don't have, could end up doing things worse than anything any other creature on the planet could do, right? Because really, the way we're created, our potential to for evil is more than any other creature, any other animal, any other lion or tiger in the forest. We could do a lot more harm than all of them. But that's only from the perspective of the nefesh, which is the physicality. But from the perspective of the guf, of the ruach, of the neshama, the connection to Shamayim, that is where we express ourselves, you know, even higher than any other creature. Okay? So now you understand why a person who will not connect to his neshama is lower, right, than anything else. And that's why, by the way, this is why in Hilchos Tumah, in Tumah, a human carcass, a human body is more tame than an animal carcass, right? An animal that dies, is on the street, it's tame. If you touch it, you're tame for one day and you go to the mikvah and you're tar. But if you touch a dead body, you're tame for 7 days, right? If you're in the same ohel as a dead body, you're tame. If you're in the same ohel as a dead carcass of an animal, you're not tame. Right? Why? Because what's tumah? Tumah is when the thing dies. That means it created a void. It had potential to do something and it fell. So as they say, the greater you are, what's this expression? The greater you are, the harder they fall, whatever. The greater they are, so a human being that has potential to reach so high, the second you take out the nefesh, he's left with this measly goof. This goof is worse than every other goof of every other animal. So it's more tummy, right? He's missing more. When you take away the nefesh, the neshama of the person, and you're left with the body, so he's missing more. The animal wasn't missing much because the ruach of the animal doesn't have the ability to change the goof of the animal anyway. So he's missing the ruach. Okay, but this disparity of an animal with a ruach and without a ruach is not that great. So the tumah is less. And that's why a vegetable that dies doesn't have any tumah, right? Because there's no potential that's being, wasted. But that when you remove the nefesh, I'm sorry, I keep on saying nefesh, when you remove the ruach and the neshama from the person, he's left with the body, which now is missing out all of its potential. And it's, as a matter of fact, it's worse off than any other creation. So that's pshat, which is very interesting, a very interesting pshat. Okay, now he ends up saying the following. He says that yesh mi shenafsho tova b'teva b'midosah. There are people created with a tremendous nature. Afal pikein hu rasha, but he turned into a rasha. So that person, noisin like called schare b'olam hazeh, shelo yeh lo chelek l'olam haba. This person, we take away his olam haba because he had the ability to do so much and he didn't. So he gets the schar for the few mitzvahs he did. He gets it in this world. It would have been very easy for him to do good and he didn't do it. And on him it says, I feel bad because they cause bad for themselves. But someone who has a very bad nefesh, but they have to constantly fight the yetzer. The yetzer is their tendencies, and the yetzer is their physicality, and their tendencies are very bad, and it leads them to bad places. But they are able to overcome it. Oz. The more you have to fight, the more you gain. And even if that person who has a bad nature and sometimes has to succumb and he doesn't have erachas shalom, Hakadosh Baruch Hu nichnas imoy lefnim meshuras adin. That person Hashem gives it to him. So in other words, it has nothing to do with the nature. It has nothing to do with what you're born with. It has to do with what you make it. Okay, we started a few minutes late, so I'm just going to say over the following story that's brought from the Tiferes Yisrael. The Tiferes Yisrael brings the following incredible story. Okay, it's in the Tiferes Yisrael, which is a Pirush on the Mishnayos at the end of Kiddushin. So listen to the story, okay? The story is like this. That there was a non-Jewish king in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu. Maybe you know it or you don't. A non-Jewish king in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu. And he wanted to, he heard so much about Yetzias Mitzrayim. He heard so much about Moshe Rabbeinu. He wanted to know what Moshe Rabbeinu, what Moses, the great Jewish leader, looked like. And he would give the painting of Moshe over to the greatest psychological experts of the time to understand how did Moses become this great leader? And how did Moses become the greatest man to ever live on the face of the earth? And what midos did he have to do this? So he'd be able to learn from him. So he sent over an artist, the greatest artist, to the camp of the Jews. And he sent the artist to the camp and to go find Moshe Rabbeinu and make a painting of him. And that's what he did. He went, he did the painting. He brought the painting back to the non-Jewish king, and the non-Jewish king gave it over to the psychologist. The psychologist said, this is impossible. The guy's a farce, the artist. So he said, why? He said, because this painting is a painting of a person who has horrible midos. Every single thing about this person is horrible. He desires honor. He's angry. He doesn't care about other people. He's selfish. Every mido you could think of, that's what the features of this person seem to indicate. So clearly the artist is joking around with you. He's fooling around. He did not paint Moshe Rabbeinu. So the king called in the artist. He says, what are you, crazy? You don't think I'm going to find out? You just go. He said, I don't know what you're talking about. I painted it exactly the way he looks like. So the king finally says, I'm going to go and find out for myself. All this is brought down in the Tiferes Yisrael. He brings this story. I don't know what his source for it is, but this is what he brings down. He goes to the Jewish camp, the king, and he finds the king, and he needs to find Moshe Rabbeinu, and he's floored. It's exactly right. Okay. The painting is exactly correct. Wow, this is what Moshe Rabbeinu looks like. So he decides he's going to have to speak to Moses about this. So he goes and he speaks to him, and he says, I don't get it. You're pulling the wool over everyone's eyes. Everyone thinks you're a great man, but my experts say that you're horrible. You're a disgusting human being. And Moshe Rabbeinu says, you're right. I was born with every bad midah. I was born with every bad trait. And I only became great because I had that bad trait and I had to work on it. And every single trait that I had, I worked on until eventually that was my greatest asset. My greatest asset was my weakness that I was able to determine my weakness and work on improving it. So I was not born a humble man, but I ended up understanding my role in the world. I became humble. I was not born a person that had no kas, and every midah that I have is not naturally my midah. And only because I worked on it did I become great. That's what he said. It's an amazing, back and forth over there, brought down. Again, I don't know what his source is, but that's our source for the story. But the idea is exactly what the Vomagoyin is saying over here, is that it's only, it's very nice if a person can be born with great midos, but it has to be worked on and worked on and worked on until eventually the person can grow to be the person that they should be. Okay? So that's for tonight. And Mr. Shem will continue tomorrow.
Good night.
Thank you. Yes.
Scott, thank you.
Yeah. I improved my system here. I have a better view of you.
Yeah, I'm probably going off now because I have my other share.
Okay, very good. Very good talk.
Okay, feel good.
You go on.
Nice. Can you bring an example of what you say about, let's say you're teaching a kid, you have to do it according to his personality.